everyone. Welcome back. Today is February, 3rd. This is Kurt Mortensen. This is our persuasion call. Welcome to any newbies out there. We're going to focus on some persuasion skills for 15, 20 minutes, talk about application, and then we'll take your questions about either what we talked about today or anything that you're running into in the world of persuasion and influence. Before we get started, are there any questions out there in persuasion land? And if you have background noise, remember at any time you can hit *6, that will mute yourself out, and *6 will bring you back in. So I've been getting some, let's see, get those guys hit *6. Yeah, if you're talking, hit *6. Getting some emails about a few things, and I think it's time to focus on one that we all need to understand, which is self-persuasion. The more you understand yourself and why you do what you do, you understand other people more and why they do what they do. And for the most part, people don't even know what they do sometimes, just do it. And so I want to tell what I'm going to talk about today is your personal foundation. And the reason this is important is it's not only going to help you persuade yourself better, but when you understand this in yourself, you'll be able to persuade other people much better. So it's kind of a bonus for everyone. You're going to be able to motivate yourself, persuade yourself better. Because again, if you can't persuade yourself, I mean really, that's going to cause a lot of challenges. You're not very good at persuading other people. So I want to focus this week a little bit on self-persuasion and understanding our foundation. Now the foundation's an interesting thing. We know with buildings that the deeper and stronger the foundation, the bigger the building. We know with a personal wealth foundation, the more you understand wealth, the more wealth you can create. The challenge with most people's foundation is they don't have emotional mastery. Their emotions are stronger than their commitments, and most people spend a lot of time trying to fix the pain rather than finding the solution. What I mean by that is you have a headache, you take aspirin, you're fixing the pain versus finding, all right, where is this pain coming from? They tend to bury their emotions. They really don't understand a lot about themselves, what they want, and where they're going. I think the foundation of what we're talking about today is foundations first. Henry David Thoreau said something very interesting. He says, if you have built castles in the air, your work need not be lost. That's where they should be. Now put foundations under them. Let me repeat that. If you've built castles in the air, your work need not be lost. That's where they should be. Now put foundations under them. So let me ask the group, what does that mean? Anyone take a stab at that? Anybody? Well, we're
Hello.
Talking to you. Yeah, I hear you. What does that mean?
What does what mean? I'm sorry, I just came in.
Oh, you just came on. That's okay. I thought you were answering the question. I was just talking about a quote. Says, if you've built castles in the air, your work need not be lost. That's where they should be. Now put foundation under them. We're talking about foundations. What Henry David Thoreau is saying, what he is saying is that it's okay to dream. It's okay to have castles in the air. That's a good thing. Now you put a foundation under them. So whatever you want in life or other people want in life, the challenge is they don't have a foundation. That's why they always fail. They're wondering what's taken so long is because they don't have a foundation. So if you're trying to motivate somebody, change somebody, persuade somebody, if they don't have a foundation, you can have all the facts and figures in the world, it doesn't matter. If you want to be financially independent and don't have a foundation, it doesn't matter. So I want to go over three things today that make up your foundation and the foundations of the people that you're attempting to persuade. The three sections are your beliefs, your thoughts, and your vision. So let's tackle beliefs. Now realize that everybody has a belief system. So the question is, are beliefs good or bad? What do you think?
Both.
They are both. That's exactly right. They are both. You have some really good beliefs and you have bad beliefs. So you have both. The challenge is, as you look at your beliefs, that your beliefs are almost like what we call your internal guidance system. Your internal guidance system. The challenge for most people and why they're not successful, or the people you're attempting to persuade are not successful, is that everyone tends to have conflicting beliefs. If I was shooting a torpedo at a target and had two guidance systems telling it what to do, what would happen?
It would probably miss the target.
It would miss the target. If you had two control towers telling an airplane what to do, it would probably crash. So if you have conflicting beliefs, that's one of the things that's taken you so long. Some conflicting beliefs could be, well, you have, let's see, you want to be wealthy, but money is the root of all evil. Now, I know those aren't conflicting, really conflicting beliefs, but they could conflict for you. You want to be an entrepreneur, but you have to have a safe, secure job with a large company. Again, I know that that's not true, but for a lot of you, the way you grew up, that is true. You want to be spiritual, but then you also want to be wealthy. Again, if it conflicts for you, it's going to cause you not to hit the goal. So I want you to think about that this week. What are your conflicting beliefs? Because we pick up our beliefs from society, from osmosis, from experience, visualization, family, friends, all these things. We pick up these beliefs. Again, we have some really good beliefs, and we have some really strange beliefs. I don't know if you knew this or not, but 75% of your beliefs are exactly like your parents or whoever you grew up with. Now, the interesting thing is the other 25% are the exact opposite. But when you look at religion, political affiliation, what you think about money and wealth, pretty much, even though you might be in denial, you have that belief in there. Now, the interesting thing about beliefs is when you were in first and second grade, and you were told something, it became an instant belief for you. And a lot of those beliefs are still stuck in your brain. Because when you're in first and second grade, you don't have the cognitive or mental abilities to refute anything. So if you were told you were smart, dumb, strange, nice, weird, ADD, class clown, teacher's pet, whatever it is, that became a belief for you. And so we have to be very careful, especially with that age group. But when they're told, they tend to believe. It becomes a belief for them. So think about it. What rules have you set for yourself? And when you look at your beliefs and your thoughts, are they mostly positive or are they mostly negative? This is very, very important to your success. What beliefs do you have? What beliefs do you have? That is number one. The next one is vision. Vision brings direction, persistence, and purpose. That's what vision does. I can't say it enough that the universe will not reward you physically until you believe it mentally. Meaning until you can see it, it's not going to matter. Until you can see it, taste it, touch it, feel it, it's not going to matter. That is so important to your success. Now, when you look at your vision, you have to understand something very important. That a big roadblock for most people here is understanding worry. Worry is negative goal setting. Worry sucks the life out of you. Now, here's your reality check. Hope you're sitting down. Here it is. I'm not here to sugarcoat it. If you're the type of person that tends to worry a lot, it's because your vision's not strong enough. Did you guys catch that? Now, it's okay to look around corners, it's okay to anticipate if things don't go right, but if you're stuck in worry, well, what about this, and if this happens, and that could happen, what that means is you can't see yourself doing the things you say you want. You don't visualize it, you can't see it, taste it, touch it, and feel it. That is a huge roadblock for your success, if you're stuck on worry. You really need to work on that vision. What's that?
Sorry, I'm going to mute my phone.
Oh, okay, I thought you had a question. And that's a critical thing to understand, is when you look at your vision, your future's spotless. And that's the challenge with most people, is this. Your family and friends judge you on your past mistakes, but they never see your future potential. And that holds a lot of people back. Well, let me repeat that. They're judging you on your past mistakes, not your future potential. And I'm telling you right now, your slate is clean. You can do whatever you want. We've learned from the past. We've made mistakes. We've blown it. Who cares? So what? We learned from it. We're growing from it. your future spotless. It doesn't matter what other people think. Because there's two ways to face the future. You could face the future with great excitement, or you could face the future with apprehension. It comes back to that vision versus worry. You really need to be able to see it, taste it, touch it, feel it. That's why we always say, winners win in advance. So here's the question. Do you think any Olympic athlete that's won a gold medal, they're on the platform, they're getting the gold medal, here's the question. Do you think they've seen it in their mind before it's happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Probably thousands of times. Again, until you see it mentally, it's not going to happen physically. Until you become a mental millionaire, you're not going to become a physical millionaire. That's reality. Let me share a story with you. I went and got this graduate degree in business thinking that was the thing, and I started with a very small high-tech company, very risky venture. And people were beating me up. Well, why don't you work for a large company? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? And anyway, they took advantage of me for 3 years, long story short, and didn't make much money. So I was broke. And I moved from the East Coast. I moved back to the West Coast. And got into a home, nothing down deal, but I grew up in California. I'm a beach guy, and I'm also about boats. I couldn't care less about cars. We want to talk about boats, I'm excited about boats. And I didn't have one, and I always wanted one. And I was rebounding, doing some things, and one Saturday I was a little frustrated. I had a little extra cash, and so I went to the lumber store, and I bought some lumber. I was clearing out some bushes and trees on the side of the house, and I started building a boat shed. Okay? So here comes my wife. Honey, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm building a boat shed. She's all, you don't have a boat. I said, I know, but I will. She says, you don't even have a car that will pull a boat. I said, I know, I will. She says, all right. Do you need any help? And we just kind of work through it. And then the neighbor comes over. What you doing? I said, I'm building a boat shed. She says, you know the two happiest days in a boat owner's life? The day they buy it and the day they sell it. You know, people tend to spit on your dreams. And that's not true, by the way, at least for me. But anyway, I visualized it. I could see it. I started to act on it. Less than a year later, not only did I have a boat in there, but I had a car to pull a boat. But I don't think if I would have taken that step to see it visually, to take the first steps, that it would have happened. And this is true for you, and it's true for your prospects. If they cannot see themselves doing what you're asking them to do, it's not going to matter. Whether it's real estate or network marketing or whatever product or service that you have, especially, let's say, network marketing. If they can't see themselves talking to their family and friends, it doesn't matter if they believe you. It doesn't matter how good the opportunity is. They will resist you because they cannot see themselves doing it. In real estate, if they can't see themselves buying, if they can't see themselves living there, it's not going to matter. So that is vision. The last one is your thoughts. As Ralph Waldo Emerson said, a man is what he thinks about all day long. Because the reality is, pretty much right now, you're a sum total of all your thoughts. Has anybody ever done the rubber band where they put the rubber band around the wrist and they snap themselves every time they have a negative thought? Has anybody ever done that?
Yeah.
How long did you last?
Not long.
A week.
A week, that's pretty good. Most people don't last very long because, first of all, it's very painful, and second of all, we don't realize how negative we are. There's various studies out there, and it's pretty much over 90% of the time we have these negative thoughts. And again, you are what you think about, and so a lot of times we're in denial about this, but it's good to be aware of our thoughts and what they're doing to you because it all comes back to tea, the drink, T-E-A. What that stands for is your thoughts control your emotions control your actions. Let me repeat that. Your thoughts control your emotions control your actions. You want to change your future, you have to change your thoughts. If you want to help somebody else change, you have to help change their thoughts. Very important aspect of success. Most people are just playing pong up there. Oh, wow, how did I start thinking about that? Controlling your thoughts. Now, a lot of people in success psychology will say, oh, that's stinking thinking. Don't have negative thoughts. The challenge with that is you're going to have negative thoughts. The difference between mediocrity and becoming financially independent is what you do with those thoughts. You are in charge of your thoughts. Now, understand your thoughts affect body functions. Your thoughts can raise or lower body temperature. They can secrete hormones. They can relax muscles. They can increase, decrease pulse rate. Think about it. You think you see a snake, it's going to do certain things to your body. So you've got to be very careful of those thoughts. Remember, you are in charge. You can't control your thoughts, but you can redirect your thoughts. Here's the difference. Those stuck in failure and mediocrity, they have a thought, and then they got it. They're thinking, ah, what if that does happen? And that could happen. Oh, man, if that does happen, what about this? What about that? Versus a successful person that's going to redirect it to something else. So you have to ask yourself, where are your thoughts taking you? And are you giving your... Are you giving your negative thoughts a place to grow? No thought sticks in your brain rent free. There, it has its toll, positive or negative. You really need to understand the thought process. Learn to focus and concentrate. It makes a big difference. I think Wayne Hill said it best. He's the author of Think and Grow Rich. He says, every man is what he is because of the dominating thought which he permits to occupy his thoughts, which a man deliberately places in his own mind and encourages with sympathy and with which he mixes any one or more of the emotions, constitute the motivating forces which direct and control his every movement, act, and deed. Basically, when you have a thought and you mix that with emotions, and that's going to direct every movement, act, and deed. That's a big part of what we're doing. The reason we're talking about this is self-persuasion. And this is a big factor, not only in your own life, but with the people you are attempting to persuade. So just to recap, your foundation for success, for wealth, whatever you're trying to pursue is having that foundation, your belief, vision, and your thoughts. Now, I wish I could just snap my fingers and it would all go away and all be perfect. It's a process, a little bit at a time. We're always working on it. We've never arrived. The worst thing we can do is say, well, that was nice. No, work on these things. In fact, here's the homework. When you look at your thoughts, first of all, to think about, you know, dominant thought. What is consuming you? It's very important to understand that. When you have a dominant thought, it's much easier to stay focused and be successful. So the two things I want you to focus on for your work. I want you to identify your conflicting beliefs. That is critical because you have them. It's holding you back.
Conflicting beliefs.
What could that be? Maybe you believe you need to have a college education to be successful. We know that's not true. Maybe you want to be wealthy, but you have a scarcity mentality. We can go back and forth on these. You do have them. Conflicting beliefs. The next one I want you to focus on is how can you move from worry to vision? Remember, if you tend to worry a lot, it's because your vision's not strong enough. Vision, more than anything else, will dictate your day-to-day decisions. That's reality 101. So identify your conflicting beliefs, come up with a game plan to fix that, and try to spend more time in vision and get out of worry. Any questions on that?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions with
Go!
Tonight. I'm Mark in New Jersey.
Okay, Mark.
You mentioned about what we tell our kids, and you mentioned an age group, and I missed basically the age. I would set it up to somewhere around, you know, 15 or 16, but I would imagine that there's other younger years that are much more, where they're much more vulnerable to that kind of thought programming.
It is. It's usually around first and second grade where they just become instant beliefs. And that was the whole scandal. When you look at politics, I think it was Some people got upset that Obama was going to talk to the school children. And I think that was the foundation, because at that age it just becomes a belief. It doesn't matter who you're against. That was the foundation of why people were getting upset.
Yeah.
But understand, too, when they get older, 15, 16, you know, it's all, their brain's not fully mature until about 21, 22. And a lot of challenges we face as parents, too, is how we phrase things. When you study NLP and the law of expectations and embedded commands, a lot of times as parents we say, don't walk in the street. And all it registers for a kid is what?
Walk in the street.
Walk in the street. Don't be stupid. No, don't do this. Or don't kill yourself. Or don't, all these things. Instead of saying don't walk in the street, if we can be more aware, we say, you know, stay on the sidewalk. And that's a big part, too, especially in the early years of the way we talk to them.
Right. Say walk, please, instead of don't run.
Exactly. But I think we're just wired where we don't even think about it. We're like, you know, don't run, don't do this, no. After a while, they don't even listen to that. And that's part of the back to the, when people say, okay, don't think of the beach, don't think of the waves, don't think of the warm sand, don't think about laying there in the warm golden sun, right? Hello? That's just how the brain is wired. It just goes straight there, so we have to be very careful what we're triggering in people's minds.
What is the best way to exercise this vision? Is it? And I've been listening to your tapes, and I think you mentioned something about the major persuaders do the vision exercises before they go to sleep. Is there anything else that we can do during the day that would help us with our vision?
Oh, you bet. I mean, and that's getting past worry. The one is for some people, the affirmations work well. For some people, before you go to bed, thinking about, you know, your success in the future, making sure you have that dominant thought. And that's what Napoleon Hill calls a burning desire. And when you have a burning desire about something and someone tries to talk you out of it, or someone tells you that it's dumb, or you just want it more. And that's a big part of that. You know, what's consuming your thoughts, that burning desire. Because if you have this burning desire to be this great real estate investor and somebody says, hey, how's your real estate empire? You don't cower. You just say, it's coming along. You know, I mean, that's the difference. So tapping into that burning desire is a big part of that. Again, what we talked about today, your thoughts are going to be really important during this process. And it takes a little time. And the big part about all these, what we talked about today, is being aware. I mean, most of you weren't aware that you spend more time in worry. You weren't aware most of your thoughts were negative. You weren't aware you had conflicting beliefs. But once you're aware what's going on upstairs in that gray matter, not only are you better persuading yourself, you will understand other people better than they probably understand themselves.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. You bet. Any other questions out there? Anybody? What we talked about today, or just in persuasion in general? Got a question coming about beliefs, conflicting beliefs. How do you know if it's a conflicting belief? Well, conflicting beliefs cause a lot of turmoil and tension and unhappiness in people's lives. You can feel that tension. And let me give you an example of my life. You know, I've always believed I wanted to be a great dad. I wanted to be there at all the sporting events and tuck them in at night. You know, that's what I wanted. I also had a belief where I wanted to, you know, be a published author. I wanted to be a trainer. I love teaching seminars. And with that, I get to Asia quite a bit, and I'm on the road teaching 2 and 3 day seminars. So let me ask the group, is that a conflicting belief?
Yes.
That conflicts, doesn't it? Now, I don't have a perfect solution, but 90% I've identified it. Okay, that's causing tension and unrest in my life. So I've come up with some various solutions. They're not perfect, obviously. I still want both. So during the summer times, I try to take more time off because my kids aren't in school. If I'm doing a seminar, I try to make sure I'm home at least on one day on the weekend with the kids. Sometimes I'll take one of the kids with me. If I'm going to Asia, I want to make sure that's during the school So there's various things that I've implemented to improve it. Again, it's not perfect. You can never have both of those, you know, be perfect that way. But I've identified it. I've come up with a game plan. I'm doing much better, and that's true in your life. Maybe you want to be financially independent, but deep down, you were told, you know, filthy rich, your money's root of all evil, or all rich people are selfish. You got to work through that. You know it's not true on the surface, but deep down it's belief to where maybe a member of your family made fun of wealthy people, or maybe there's something there that's holding you back on a spiritual note. And that's what I get with people when I teach them the principles of the millionaire psychology and the principles of wealth is they kind of want to be financially independent, but they were taught that, you know, money does this, money does that. But then you can go to, if you want to get, go to the Bible. I'll go biblical with you. A lot of people in that Bible were very, very wealthy. You look at the Good Samaritan, had to have money to help the person. So there's a lot of other examples that you could focus on instead of focusing one or two obscure packages or passages. Like, money's the root of all evil. What does it really say?
Love of money is
the love of money. And you get it. If you love money more than your family, more than your friends, more than society, that would be evil. They're different things. The best thing you can do to help a poor person, not be poor yourself. We just have to work through the, identify it, number one, and work through it, number two. All right. Any other questions out there?
Yes, Kurt, I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Lena from Chicago. My question is how does someone who has had a beautifully positive vision of life, believed in a lot of wonderfully positive things, and something in life that's catastrophic, changes that vision and puts a person in a position where they can't come to a point where they can recapture the belief in a vision? How do you overcome that obstacle or that hurdle?
That's a big one, because life will beat the crap out of you sometimes. I guess that's the way to sugarcoat it. that happens to us a lot of times, and when that happens, a lot of times that energy from that vision fades away. And a couple things that are important here to understand is that time will fix that. If it's truly a vision that somebody's wanted, time will fix that. It takes time sometimes to go past tragedies, to get past devastation. But it's also important to note that whatever we go through, challenges, obstacles, trials, devastations, is either going to make us a better person or a bitter person. There's something we can learn from it, not only to help ourselves, but maybe it's there to help other people when they're going through that type of devastation. You know, are we going to grow from this, or is it going to give us constant grief? And too many people remain so bitter that it really sucks that vision out of them. And if they can just kind of, you know, time, it does take time. It doesn't happen overnight. But if they can look at it, grow from it, learn from it, become better from it, then that vision will return, and it will return 4 or 5 times stronger than it originally was. Sometimes our vision gets weaker, not only to test us to see if it was truly a desire of our heart, a burning desire, but a lot of time it seems to test us, because when we're all through the test, it's stronger, more crystallized, and more exciting than ever.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Good question. Any other questions out there? All right, so remember your homework. I want you to identify your conflicting beliefs. Might not come to you right now. Think about it through the week and come up with a game plan to fix that. And then I want you to figure out a way that when you start worrying too much, how can you get back into vision? How can you think about it? Remember, the universe will not reward you physically until you believe it mentally. That's just reality. So if you can visualize it, see it, taste it, touch it, feel it, it becomes so real that sometimes it's not that exciting to you anymore. Well, let me explain how that works. If you visualize becoming a millionaire, becoming a millionaire, becoming a millionaire, you have seen it so many times that when it actually happens, it's really not that big of a deal, because your mind's on 2 million. Does that make sense to everyone?
Uh-huh.
I don't want to take the excitement out of it, but that's kind of reality to where you've seen it. It's already happened. You're moving on. Oh, yeah, I'm a millionaire. I already knew that. I knew that 6 months ago. Even though it just happened today, I knew that 6 months ago. And when that becomes that real, it changes your behavior, it changes the people that you attract. That's why self-persuasion is a huge, huge piece of your success, not only in your own life, but to help understand other people and help persuade them. All right? All right. So everyone have a great week this week. Take notes in any persuasive situations that you're running into. We can talk about those on the calls. And then we will see you same time next week.
Good night, Kurt.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, Kurt.
Good night.
Good night. We'll see you. Good night.
Yeah.
Night.